Bob Jones University presents Word of Truth with Dr. Bob Jones, Sr. As founder of the world's largest fundamental Christian university and a preacher who loved people, Dr. Jones influenced thousands to come to the Savior. Even until the time he went to live with his Lord, his practical insights into the commandments of God and the hearts of men help people all over the world find the answers to life in the Word of Truth.
I'm reading some verses from the 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now notice a minute. Philip was under his own sponsorship. He was out under the direction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guided him, see. God does give guidance to surrendered people. If you're a surrendered Christian, then he'll guide you, for the Bible makes it clear the steps of a good man order the Lord. Now, there are two aspects to the will of God. There's a directive will of God and the permissive will of God. It's a wonderful thing to be under the directive will of God. Now, God sometimes permits men to do certain things without directing them, see. They go ahead and do it. God says, all right, you're a free moral agent, go ahead, see. But here's a man now being sent out and directed by the Holy Spirit. Now then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now remember, here's a man, no organization, no machinery, nothing like that set up, no committee, just on his own, went out to do the work for God. He was a God-sent man. Now you're taking the story of John the Baptist. Did you ever stop to think about people that criticize these freelancers, you know? You've heard that so many times. He's a freelance, you know. He's a lone wolf, they say. Well, now what about John the Baptist? John the Baptist down there was out preaching the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. There he was, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He was under divine sponsorship. Take the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a man going down to Damascus to persecute Christians. And God spoke to him out of the sky, and he went blind, went through some dark times there. And then the light dawned, and he saw what he was doing, and he became a wonderful Christian. He went out on his own. He said he didn't consult flesh and blood. He went out on his own. Now, it's all right to be ethical. It's all right to be considerate. And they were all considerate. They were gentlemen, see. But, you know, sometimes men set up certain standards of ethics that are not God's standards. It's the standards of man. They set up certain standards, you see. And always keep in mind, the ethical standards of men are all right if they're in line with the ethical standards of God. But anything that would restrict you from being guided by the Holy Spirit is not of God, even if it's carried on by ecclesiastical organizations. If it's carried on, never mind who does it. If God directs you to do something, and some machinery or organization endeavors to stop you, then the machinery of the organization is not of God. So, here's Philip now. He went down to the city of Mary and preached Christ unto them. Now, when he got down there, what did he do? Well, he got together, and let's imagine this now. Of course, this isn't true. He got together and said, now, my friends, one religion is as good as another, you know. Doesn't matter what you believe anyhow. No, he didn't either. No, no. God's man never talks like that. Any man talks like that isn't God's man. He's a devil's man. God's man never talks that way. He got out of there, what he said. And the people with one accord gave heed on the things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. In other words, they said, well, he's living all right. His life's all right. He's doing good work. He seems to have some power. He's accomplished something. God seems to have blessed him. His God must be a wonderful God. Here's what's happening to him. Let's listen to him. You know, isn't it wonderful to find minds like that? Not too warped, not too prejudiced, on the alert to listen, to see, to hear. There it was. So when the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles he did. Now what did happen? For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies that were lame and were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Why, isn't that wonderful? No organization, no machinery. No get-together, a great crowd, and great setup. One little man set out by Almighty God on the power of the Holy Spirit. While I read the New Testament, I read the Acts of the Apostles, and I think what happened back in those days, where Paul would go and get in jail, stay in jail for a while, write an epistle, come out with the power of God upon him, nothing could stop him. Oh, how far we've got away from God now. We look to influence and the machine and the numbers and the bigness and all that sort of situation instead of looking to God. Now, you might have some influence that way, but influence can't have power. You can have influence without power, but you can have power without influence. I've seen it work so many times. You know, I know a man now, a wonderful fellow in many ways, personal friend of mine. Back in the old days, he was an humble sort of fellow. I knew him a number of years ago, and nice fellow. In fact, one of the most intelligent fellows I've ever known. And he had a good deal of character, too. I sat in committees with him. And I helped him write some doctrinal positions for a certain organization way back in the old days. Well, one day this fellow got a little tired of the restraints and the restrictions. And he just went off to a certain institution, took a certain course, and came out with a tag upon him, you see. Had a definite tag upon him. A sort of highbrow tag, and he became a kind of a religious liberal. So he's supposed to be an evangelist still. Never had any power. You can't have any power in a revival campaign unless you pull in God's people and bleed them to death and destroy them by compromise. This man's never had a revival. He used to go out with a little organization, have wonderful times, but he doesn't anymore. Why? He hasn't got it, see? He hasn't caught it. He compromised. He made an unholy alliance, and sooner or later the power goes. You can't have an unholy alliance and keep the power. Now here's poor, one little humble man, Philip. Went down and said to Mary and preached the gospel unto them. The people of one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. Hearing and seeing the thing he did, and unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy. There was great joy in that city. They had revival. No organization, no machinery, no setup, no compromise, no trimming, no cutting corners. It's written here with a pen of inspiration in this book of God. Oh, what a God that can pick up a man and use him. You know, somebody said one day to Dwight L. Moody, said, the world has yet to see what God could do with one man that surrendered to him. And Moody said, I believe I'll be that man. And he went out on the power of God. And then I remember, if I'll never forget, as long as I live, the first time I ever saw Billy Sunday, back in the old days. He's playing baseball, you know. And God got a hold of him in a mission there, a little obscure mission in Chicago, went and got saved. And Billy Sunday, that fighting man of God, never trimmed, never compromised. I can remember that man's sermons, how I loved him, and how close we were in fellowship in the service of God. Billy Sunday, back in that great campaign in New York, and back during World War I, when the mind of men were fixed on the war and win the war, up there preaching the gospel, and how he turned that city upside down. And I remember how that man went up now in this country fighting for God, just a baseball player, didn't belong to the school of theologian. Old Billy Sunday, I remember. And I remember these old men down south. I just read an editorial about these fellows here in the south. Back there, Morrison, John Brown, the rest of them. You go back a little further, there was old John B. Culpepper, and those mighty fighting men of God, Sam Jones, George Stewart. They didn't have machinery back of them. They had the machinery against them. And they organized opposition to the ecclesiastical dictatorship. And they went out unflinchingly preaching the gospel, what God did. I think about all the men down the ages that God's blessed and used in a wonderful way. How they went out, how they were fought, how they were opposed. And they didn't everybody pat them on the back. They were fought. Let me tell you something. God's people have never been popular in the history of the world. The mighty men of God that have been used have never been popular except with a certain group, the group of the saints. These folks down here got converted, and they saw the power of God, and they had great joy to think there was a way out, there was deliverance. Oh, yeah. He had the folks that were real. The folks that found God, the folks that loved the Lord, the folks that were saved. So they had great joy in that city. And there was a certain man called Simon, before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is a great power of God. Oh, how mistaken the people are sometimes. How blind folks are. Here's this man that was not a man of God, not doing God's work, and now they're coming in on the situation with him. He tried to get in. He got a cut in on the situation. He was a bandwagon fellow. He got on the bandwagon. Everybody get on the bandwagon. Listen just a minute. You can't ride God's bandwagon very far unless you're right with him. Not when the lines are drawn, not when the battle's on. God doesn't have to have big men. He doesn't have to have famous men. God has to have surrendered men, folks whose lives are yielded and dedicated. And God takes them and molds them and makes them and shapes them and does with them and in them and through them what his will is for their lives. And he has a will for your life. He may not send you to Samaria, but he'll send you out under his power and direction to do what he wants you to do. And you can do what God wants you to do. What he wants you to do, you can do. And nobody should want to do more than that. It's wonderful to just know what his will is being done in your life. Our Heavenly Father, help all who are listening in. Spirit of God, speak to them. Help us yield our lives to Jesus Christ. Help us in this time when it's so easy to compromise. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be true. Help us not to surrender. Lead us by thy Spirit in the way thou hast have us go, and keep us faithful in all things. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to The Word of Truth with Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., a man who went to his heavenly home after more than 70 years of influencing thousands with his compassion for souls and the Word of God. If you're interested in a college education that's based on the absolute authority of the Bible and the fundamentals of the Christian faith, that insists upon moral as well as academic excellence, then write today to the Director of Admissions, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614.